Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Craig Hemke, founder and editor of tfmetalsreport.com. And Craig, we're chatting about the precious metals, and we actually have a bit of, I guess, positive comments to say, at least in the short term, regarding gold and silver. We'll start with gold, and gold has, bounced off that 16-whatever level you want to use that was the last stopping point, and we're back above, as we're recording this, 1750, just narrowly above 1750, but either way, that's one of the initial resistance levels that gold needs to work through to build an uptrend. Plus the lows in March, they at least seem to be holding right now. So overall, it's a bit of a better picture for gold. You also look at the gold stocks, and I think GDX is a very interesting chart because in March it had, kind of a double bottom, but that second bottom was higher than the initial bottom. And so far, it looks like we put in a higher low and getting into a higher high. Again, short-term trading, but at least a little positivity around the gold sector. Craig, break down what you're seeing out there.
All right, Corey, now's the time to go get up and walk around because this is going to be a long answer. Anyway, nice to talk to you again. Last week, we discussed how it looked like things were turning and there was going to get a little help from those key HFT inputs of the bond market and the dollar. The bond market looked like it had attempted a breakout above 175 in the 10-year note, only to reverse, which now looks like a double top in terms of yield. So we thought maybe the bond market was going to rally. It has. And then the dollar had gotten extremely overbought, at least for the dollar, got up to an RSI of 71, which anything over 70 is considered overbought, this momentum and sentiment indicator. And dollar would rarely get above 70. And it got to 71, the highest it had been for in a year. You thought, okay, it might pull back, at least back to its 200-day moving average. Well, all of that has happened. It's actually even below its 200-day moving average. You put those two together, yeah, we got a nice bounce. Gold should have held 1680. And I say that because a year ago at this time, gold was range bound between 1680 on the downside and 1780 on the upside. Spent 100 days there before finally breaking out. And then in 2 months going to 2080. So as we broke down through seven, remember we tried to hold 1780 coming down with a double bottom at 1780. But then that failed in late February. And we fell. As soon as we started breaking through 1780, I thought, oh God, here comes 1680. And that's exactly where we went to. And now we bounced off that level twice, just like we bounced off 1680 or 1780, I mean. So it's not like we're out of the woods, but bouncing off of 1680 now with these key inputs kind of working in our favor, we're getting some momentum. The next thing to watch, the 50-day moving average is up there around 1763, I believe, in the front month June contract. If we can keep it together tomorrow, and that's a big if because we've got about a 5 or 6 day winning streak going here, and you know at some point that's going to be broken. But if we can keep it together tomorrow and close the week above that 50 day, that'd be a pretty good sign. And we've all should have our eyes set now upon the top of the bull flag. Anybody that wants to, I mean, this is all stuff from last year. Remember we had big old cup on the chart from the highs in 2011 down to the lows at the end of 2015, back up to 1800 or so early last year, middle part of last year, as I said. Well, then you had this big breakout, right? So you get the cup, then you get the pullback that's a handle. The other way the technicians would look at that, they'd call that a bull flag. Well, that bull flag has what has kind of contained price as a downtrend ever since August. Tried to break out in early November, failed. Tried to break out in early January, failed. Well, that bull flag line now is about 1780, which, remember we just mentioned 1780 had been support, now it's resistance? That becomes the key level, maybe as soon as next week. First step is to get above that 50-day moving average, but then from there, we get out of that bull flag convincingly, a lot of people are going to notice, and then you're going to kind of start generating your own momentum. And you get above 1780 again, too, and people are going to say, oh, there you go, came down, double bottom. A lot of potential here. Long ways to go before we can really start raising the flag and getting excited, but it definitely looks better than it did a couple weeks ago.
It really does. And some of the headwinds for the precious metals, those have dissipated as well when you consider that yields are lower. They're not way lower, but they have at least slowed down on that aggressive uptrend. The dollar has started to sell off as we're recording this. Dollar is barely holding that 92 level. So these are a couple factors that do lead to at least a bit more support for gold.
Absolutely. And that's, I mean, it's that change from early last week when it looked like that maybe we'd run out of selling in the bond market and double topped at 175 in the 10-year. That change from early last week when the dollar index looked like maybe it had gotten as overbought as it had been in a year, that's helped us. And if we can continue this now, oh yeah, then for sure, we'll break out of these patterns and should kind of begin to take on a little life of its own. You know, with some positive news and positive sentiment, you know, and some speculators returning. I mean, we've got the lowest open interest in COMEX gold in a year and a half. We've got the smallest net positions for managed money in the large spec category in COMEX gold since May of 2019. Okay, so there's a lot of room for interest to come back in gold futures. And there's a chance we could get rolling, but again, we're going to need some help to get started. And I mentioned, you know, how we talk about gold, how there was support becomes resistance and, you know, so on. Everybody that follows and uses charting knows that. As it relates to the dollar index, you mentioned 92, that's a key level because the dollar index on the way down last year kept going into these like 2-point ranges and spent a long time, September into November, in a range between 92 and 94. And once it fell below 92, it went to 89.5. Then it went on the way back up this year. It kept banging into 92 and couldn't get above there. You know, what had been support had become resistance. Well, then now we went all the way to 93.5 and we pulled back to 92. So I'd expect 92 to be support. But if it fails and we start going below 92, well, then we may really catch a tailwind. So there's a lot of things to watch. And what would normally, you know, you might at the surface look out and go, not much going on there. There's a lot going on and a lot of stuff to be paying attention to.
There are, and it's a bit more constructive for the precious metals, but hey, there's a lot of work that the precious metals still need to do to, I think, draw in more investors, but just a general uptrend helps a lot. Craig, what about silver too? Because silver, that's also been bouncing. Silver didn't sell off nearly as much as gold did over that last 7 months, but recently there was showing some weakness, but now silver is moving a bit more as a precious metal, more hand in hand with gold. What are you watching on the silver chart?
Well, again, dollar has a big impact there, right? Just like it does with other commodities like copper and the other base metals. So that is helping silver. Got to watch really closely in the next couple of days because what I've been following at TF Metals Report is a clear downtrend line of lower highs that all magically connect going back to February 1st and that kind of big gap open and then kind of almost island reversal of silver squeeze day. When we got over 30 and then got smashed the next day, that connects, like I said, almost perfectly to the next set of lower highs and then even the next set of lower highs. So you got a trend line there. Coming up from the bottom, though, and providing support is the 200-day moving average. And in almost kind of a perfect stop running fake out washout move early last week, COMEX Silver dropped down below its 200-day moving average and plunged. Almost a buck in 2 days, Monday and Tuesday of last week. But then it reversed, came back up, has gotten back above that 200-day. And now, just as the 200-day was converging up against that trend line and reaching this kind of moment of critical mass, it burst through there on Thursday. And it looks like it resolved positively. So here are the next things to watch. When we talk about gold, when can you feel comfortable kind of maybe making some speculative bets or, you know, changing some of your asset allocation back to the precious metals after this consolidation, get out of that flag and get above 1780 and start trading with an 18 handle again. I feel pretty good. In silver, first level to watch is 26. We know how important that level has been since 2010, but really on a daily basis, it's 2650. But even that, you know, we're just getting started. You really want to feel, okay, now we're going to roll. Silver has the front month contract has not posted a weekly close above $28 yet since all the fun began a little over a year ago with QE to infinity and everything else. Back in July and August of last year, when it traded up to $30, it was intra-week. Even back in January and February of this year, all intra-week. It is yet to post a weekly close north of 28. So if you want something to watch, That's the thing. I think we get a week to close north of 28, hang in there the next week. I feel pretty good at that point about where we're headed.
One other interesting news event that came out of the silver space was news out of Endeavor Silver, traded on the TSX under the symbol EDR and on the NYSE under the symbol EXK. Endeavor had some pretty good production numbers, but the one thing that I know caught our eye was the fact that they were building their inventory, not necessarily just mining silver and then selling it. They're actually building this inventory waiting for higher prices. Anything noteworthy here in your eyes, Craig?
I love it. I mean, I think that's what these companies should do. You know, if you don't need the immediate cash and you think you're the value and the price of your product is underpriced, undervalued, then to hell with it. Hang on to it, you know, and see if you can't sell it later at a higher price. And that's what Endeavor Silver explicitly said with their production report on Thursday. They said they were withholding 523,000 ounces, almost half of their quarterly production, and not selling it, keeping it in concentrate inventory in anticipation of a precious metal prices rebound in Q2. Their words, not mine. Just think if other precious metal mining companies now, besides Endeavor and First Majestic, think if others caught on and did the same thing. And we've already got clearly a very tight global physical situation after all the dealers got cleared out in the silver squeeze a couple months ago. And again, it's a tight situation regardless. I mean, the world mines maybe, what, 850 million ounces a year? It's just for round numbers sake, come up with another 150 million ounces in recycling and the rest. Well, that's a billion ounces. But we pretty consistently chew up about 600 million ounces a year in industrial production, you know, and that's just gone. So if investment demand ever exceeds 400 million ounces a year, and we're certainly on pace to do that this year, you run a supply deficit. Then you start getting some of these silver producers to not throw their, 500,000 ounces. That's 500,000 right there that they're saying, we're going to hang on to it. If they were to start to do that, obviously they can't act collusively and do that. But if they all just independently, a couple other companies decide to do that, who knows what would happen. So anyway, I think it's great. I think it's great for the company to have some faith, show some faith in their product. You know, it's not akin or analogous to a share buyback, but it's kind of in the same ballpark. You know, to say, no, look, we like what we're doing. We like our product. We think it's good, and we think it's undervalued. So we're just going to hold off, and we'll sell some later. Boy, what might it do? What if they do sell some that 500,000 ounces in Q2 at a higher price? What are their earnings going to look like for Q2 when we get those in August? And along those lines, one other thing, Corey, we are getting close to earnings season. You mentioned the GDX earlier, and several of the big miners are starting to kind of look like they're getting some attention again. I focused on MySidler this week on Franco-Nevada and Newmont, both breaking above their 200-day moving average and looking to break out. We are close to earnings season. Remind everybody, I mean, we all think about, you know, $2,000 gold from last summer, but in the first quarter of last year, we began 2020 at $1,500 gold, ran up to about $1,600, spent a lot of time around $1,400 in March. So the average realized price for most gold producers in the first quarter of last year was actually $1,480. We began this year at $1,900. We finished the first quarter at about $1,700. So why don't we call this first quarter of 2021 $1,780? Well, that's $300 more than last year at this time, more than 20%. I suspect the first quarter earnings for all the major miners and producers are going to be pretty good. And if we combine that with some breakouts, we might find ourselves having a pretty good couple of weeks here in the shares.
All right, Craig, we're going to wrap it up there. Thanks for taking some time on this Friday. We'll chat again next week, but hey, it is nice to be talking a little bit more optimistically and positively about the actual price action rather than just saying, oh, just wait, long term, the metals are looking good. They're finally starting to bounce here in the short term and at least taking out some of these initial resistance levels. Craig, thanks for your time. I'll post a link to your website. Have a great weekend.
All the best, my friend. You too.